My guest is Mary Peacock. She's the style editor of The Village Voice and the editor of a new book on shopping in Manhattan. She began writing about clothes and street fashion in 1970 for an underground newspaper she started called Rags. I asked her what it was like then to be writing about a subject that many in the alternative press saw as too self-indulgent and trivial to bother with.
That was actually an important time in clothes, because that's when vintage clothing was really discovered. Kids who didn't have a lot of money but wanted to wear something interesting started going to thrift stores. And that's what we were trying to get across in our magazine Rags at that time, is to say that, you know, fashion is your fashion. And if you wear beautifully patched jeans and or whatever, that's your fashion and it looks great.
You established the style section, which is called the V section, in the Village Voice. Was there any resistance initially to style being discussed every week in the Voice?
Well, actually, the editor of the paper then, David Schneiderman, who's now the publisher, was in fact was terrified that that was going to happen. So after he decided to hire me, mostly on the basis of Rags, in other words, knowing that I had a different take on fashion, it wasn't poison fashion, you know, expensive fashion, he in fact was so afraid that he would be criticized that he used to forget in quotes to call on me in the editorial meeting every week. It took him 6 months to actually acknowledge I was there. And of course, what happened was that no one complained. In fact, they liked it. So,
what do you think is the difference between your approach to style and the standard women's fashion magazine approach?
Well, in terms of practicality, my approach is to think about how much money the readers really do have to spend. I mean, if you look at Vogue magazine, it's full of page after page of outfits with four-figure price tags. And if you look at the demographics of the readers of Vogue, well, they're just like everyone else. They can't afford those things. And so Vogue functions in many ways as a sort of wish book, as a place where you see the newest things that are too expensive for you, but you're then seeing what the styles are and you're seeing what's going to be copied later and so on. But it's not so practical usually. And so something that I'm interested in doing is showing stuff that people really can afford. And the other part of it is I'm desperate to inject a little humor in it, because after all, getting dressed is supposed to be fun. Aside from the function of keeping you warm enough or protected from the sun enough, it's really all about having fun.
Do you feel like you've created a different language to talk about style than the women's magazines have usually used?
I guess in trying to make, to translate the visual excitement of something to wear into words, often fashion copywriters have had to resort to kind of metaphorical language like wow, zap, zing, pow kind of thing. I've been interested in having people write about clothes the way they experience them, which is usually a humor piece about, you know, how one size fits all is the fourth biggest lie, things like that.
Do you ever feel victimized by fashion because you can't possibly fit into it or because you don't look good in it?
Yeah, that's always been a problem of women being made to feel inadequate because fashion is always displayed on a sort of female ideal, whatever the fashion in females is at the moment, and that changes too, of course. I mean, in the 50s, you were supposed to have giant bazooms, and then in the 60s, you were supposed to be perfectly flat-chested, and then now, just lately, they've been saying, cleavage is back, and as one of my writers said, if so, where has it been? Where did it go for the last 10 years?
There are some women's fashions that are very hard to reconcile with feminism, and some of these fashions are coming back. I'm thinking of high heels, for instance, which everybody knows are really difficult to walk in, God forbid to run in. What do you think of the comeback of high heels?
High heels are only nice as an aesthetic. They look nice, it's true. And I think it's not just men who think they look nice. It's an interesting sort of shape. However, they are impossible to wear. But I think that a lot of women will wear high heels, will throw out their lower backs, will be unable to run away from trouble or jump across a puddle, because the idea of them being fashionable is too strong to resist. The good news is that in the shoe store, you will also still see flats, that the manufacturers and stores no longer present just one option.
What about the comeback of short skirts?
I think that that short skirts are fun and comfortable if you want to wear them and if you feel comfortable in them. I think it's just fun if you want it. What would be a disaster is if every skirt in the store was short. as long as there's a choice, it's fine with me. There are a lot of things that I don't want to wear, but I don't mind if somebody else wants to wear them.
Do you think you judge people by their clothes?
Oh, I think everyone definitely does, and they don't even understand that they're doing it. When you look at people, you get a million tiny little clues from their appearance, which is mainly their clothes, because most of their bodies are covered with clothes, and they're wearing shoes and carrying a certain purse or briefcase.
Well, I should mention that I'm talking to you from a Philadelphia studio. You're talking from the NPR studios in New York, mm-hmm. so we can't see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, our listeners can't see you either. I don't know, should we be judging you by your clothes? Should you tell us what you're wearing now?
No, you shouldn't be judging me by my clothes. But I think that if you did see me, you couldn't help it. It would be an automatic response. And when we say judge, we don't say worthy, unworthy, good or bad. It's just that you get information.
So what are you wearing, Mary?
I'm wearing a dress. This year, I suddenly got interested in dresses. It's a light blue denim shirtwaist dress, something that is not particularly fashionable. Was about 3 years ago. But it's real comfortable, and you just pop it on and put your feet in shoes, and off you go.
Why are you interested in dresses now?
I don't know. It's the feeling of it. They're cooler, really, in the summer than pants. And I think it's the natural urge for a change. I mean, that's one of the big motivating engines in fashion, is a change. And of course, we know the manufacturers want us to change so that we'll buy all new clothes. But people want change, too. They wouldn't go for it if it wasn't a human desire, I don't think.
Well, your new book is about shopping. I'd like to know if you genuinely enjoy shopping.
I enjoy shopping when I have money in my pocket. To tell you the truth, I'm not a window shopper. To me, it's just torment to look at things that I couldn't possibly have. And I know this goes against the grain of what a lot of people think is the fun of shopping. But frankly, I don't think it's a museum. I think it's a store. And if I can't buy it, I don't want to look at it and be tortured.
Is it possible to cover fashion, even for the alternative press, and not become manipulated by the manufacturers who are trying to decide what they're going to get us to wear and buy?
It's very difficult not to be manipulated, even though my main message, if one could be so pretentious as to say I had a fashion message, would be that people should really learn what their own style is. They should figure out what they like and what makes them feel good, and also what, objectively speaking, looks good on them in terms of color and shape and so on. And it's extremely difficult not to be swayed away from these things that you know perfectly well are true by whatever's in fashion that season. And the most astounding thing is to experience your own eyes changing, to suddenly slowly accept shoulders, a natural shoulder growing out past Joan Crawford to the football stage and then back again, or skirts creeping up and down, or jodhpur style pants where, you know, the first thought of that is, oh my God, everyone looks like they have huge hips. Who would ever wear that? And then it's being promoted in the next season. You think, well, I see, that doesn't look so bad. And the next thing you know, you find your own hand shooting out towards a pair of these on the rack, and you think, my God, what have they done to me? I've been brainwashed.
What are some of the most stupid purchases you've ever made that really shocked you once you saw them in your own home?
Well, the thing that's, it's this idea of being invited somewhere, usually a party, where you feel a little nervous about making the right impression, and you open your closet door and there's nothing there. And you think, oh my God, I can't go in this old thing. And you rush desperately to the store. I remember literally racing up and down West Broadway in New York, trying to find something to wear, you know, as the stores were closing one after another, and I was standing begging outside the door. And I ended up spending twice as much as I should have for this white silk pantsuit that had last year's shoulders. It didn't fit anyway. I didn't really want to look like that anymore. The whole thing was a total disaster. And every time I see it, it makes me sick.
So you still have it in your closet?
I do. I'm hoping that somehow I'll find someone who will think it's just swell.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Mary Peacock, thank you very much for talking
thank
with
you.
Us. Village Voice style editor Mary Peacock edited the new book, The Village Voice Guide to Manhattan's Hottest Shopping Neighborhoods.